Seems to be working. Okay, good. Now, we're going to talk about, in quotes, dating. What I really mean, that Christian approach to the whole thing of going from knowing each other to liking each other to falling in love with each other to getting married. That whole process. Okay, got it? Now, the Bible does not discuss dating at all. Here's why. They didn't have dates back then, all right? The culture was very, very different. Dating literally did not exist. By the way, if you were to go to the country India, you wouldn't do a lesson about dating because they don't have dating in India.
Really?
They do not.
Dang.
All right? Dang, yeah. The American idea is not what they do everywhere, just so you know. Okay? Marriages in the first century were arranged by families. All right? Christian advice about dating will therefore be based on Christian biblical principles. I have no commandments about dating anywhere in the Bible that are even remotely relevant to this topic. Okay, got it? But the Bible does discuss two things. Number one is romantic relationships. All right? And number two, marriage. So we're going to look at a couple of scriptures related to romantic relationships, and we're going to look at a couple of scriptures related to marriage. Okay? Now, I'm not talking to a bunch of high school students, all right? So we're not talking about puppy love, all right? You know, puppy love. You know, when you're my age, you look at romance in high school, you go, yeah, whatever, you know, just whatever. All right? But y'all are old enough that already you kind of get it. That stuff going on in high school, that was just, all right, you know, puppy love. But, again, if you came in late, this lesson is aimed at college students only. Okay? So, 17 or 18 to about 23 or 24. And I'm going to state my opinion, just my opinion. My opinion is college students are in that in-between place. All right? Which is, this is not about puppy love anymore. But you're also not really probably ready to actually get married. So the 18 to 23 is when you're learning how to have adult male-female relationships. So that's a really, really important learning time. Got it? It's a key time in your development of who you're going to be. Okay? So what we're talking about tonight, and from my perspective, is finding ways to pursue healthy, committed, long-term, lifelong male-female relationships. That's what we're talking about. Because we're in that time of life when that's what you're learning about. Okay? And so, for me, the 18 to 20-year-old group are not really ready for that. Just my opinion. If you disagree with me, you think, yeah, 18-year-olds, they're just marriage. That's just great. If you think that, you're probably going against the grain of American culture today. All right, so what we're talking about is getting ready for something that you will be ready for maybe 3 years from now, maybe 5 years from now. Okay? All right. Anyway, if you don't agree with that, that's what I'm thinking. All right. So how do we do that? Well, one thing I would say is do not take your cues from the world. All right. The world has just whatever you learned about romance, whatever you learned about dating, whatever you learned about, whatever you got from the world, just garbage. Throw it into the garbage bin. That's probably a little bit of an overstatement, to be honest with you. But seriously, the world has very little to offer you in terms of how to approach this thing that we're talking about. Okay? Yeah, I mean, come on. So, I'm not going to be giving you scriptural commandments on dating. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to use four, I think, really solid scriptures that relate to those two things. Number one is romantic relationships, and number two, marriage. And then I'm going to honestly give you advice based on the fact that I'm 69 years old. You know what I'm saying? And I've been around. So, by the way, I've been having conversations with Malcolm and with Jimmy and others, trying to find out what the current lingo and the current stuff, but it's hopeless. I'm not even going to try. So whatever I say, you're going to have to, in your own mind, translate that into how you guys say these things and how you guys do these things. So, for example, even the word dating may not apply. Going steady may not apply. All right. Getting, I don't know. So you're going to have to forgive this old fuddy-duddy who's going to use outdated language to talk about a current topic. All right? So please be prepared to hear through a filter, which is your young way of thinking about these things. And I'm not proposing that the language I'm using is the language you're going to use. For example, I hear that you guys talk about hookups. I don't even know what a hookup is. All right? You talk about... and by the way, you live in a world that's so different from the world I grew up in terms of relationships. For example, guys and girls have 24/7 access to each other.
Yeah.
Totally. That is a complete paradigm shift. All right? And so any advice that I give, you're going to have to learn how to apply it in your world that is not my world. All right? However, the scriptures I'm going to use and the experience I have from some... You know, because in the last 46 years of being a Christian, Jan and I have worked either with college students or singles, about 25 of those 46 years. So I've, you know, all right, take it for what it's worth, okay? So let's go and get into the Bible. Bible.
Yeah.
All right, good. So I'm going to start in 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7. So we're going to look at four scriptures. We're going to only take about 10 minutes to go through those four scriptures. Then I'm going to start giving you old person's advice, but it's, I believe, wise advice. And then you decide what you're going to do with it, because I can't tell you what to do. All right? 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7. It's in the T's, right? There's five T's right after go eat popcorn. Got your five T's? All right, here we go. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. That you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the pagans. Like I said, just whatever you learn from the world, just trash can. All right? let me see. Not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. All right? So what I learned from this is God wants us to be holy, sanctified. What that means is set apart and different. All right? So our way of approaching this whole thing related to romance and sex, we are absolutely, utterly different from the world. And I'll tell you one thing, if you want to be holy and sanctified, sexual immorality, that is that's a huge problem with that. Okay? That's a huge problem. So what's his advice here? He says, learn to control your body in a way which is holy and honorable. Okay? Take home lesson number one. Learn to control your body in a way which is holy and honorable. And the world is going to give you absolutely no help in that. Absolutely none. And I would say not just your body, but your mind. Learn to control your mind and your body. So a lot of it is about learning a kind of self-control, all right, in a way that's going to give honor and glory and sanctification to God. So not in passionate lust. And I'm telling you, Hollywood, it's all about passionate lust. That's the whole thing. It's not the whole thing, it's just most of the thing. It's not just about that. Alright? But it's largely about that. So, I'm gonna ask a question, we'll have a little brief discussion here. So, help me out. How's it work nowadays? Alright? You know, boy meets girl. All right, how's it work? I'm not sure. No, Ken, you cannot answer this question. You just keep you keep quiet, Ken. You know, you probably know no more than. All right. How's it work? All right, but how do you initiate this that first month? How does it work? I literally don't know. I'm not asking because I'm rhetorically, because I actually don't know. So how's that work? Okay. So you meet somebody, and in the first month, you kind of decide whether you like each other? Okay. More or less? Okay, and then what? Okay. Anybody else want to, somebody help Garrick out? Obviously, there's a wide variation, but just kind of the general trend. So you meet somebody, probably within 2 weeks or maybe a month, you decide whether you're kind of having a like thing going here.
Sometimes it takes a couple of days.
All right. It varies quite a bit. Okay. Okay. And then what?
It can be very lustful orientated.
Y'all surely know. But Ken, you're not allowed to answer this question. This somebody under 25 has to answer this question. And then what? I'm asking because I literally don't know. Yeah, just generally, broadly, what happens next?
Get on the board, Kevin.
Well, in the beginning, it's just like, I guess you could divide them into stages, where it's like the talking stage, and then, like, the talking stage, which is what you said, like, around a few months. It's pretty much like you get to know the person, and if you connect with them, you know, then you kind of start getting a little serious. So it's just like a trend until you, like, pretty much start dating.
Okay.
So I guess you could just say the talking stage, and then, like, the dating stage, and then final, the marriage. So you could divide them into like
you go from dating to marriage. There's nothing like in between.
Not even to go exclusive, like boyfriend girlfriend.
So in other words, they're pure when they get married.
No.
They haven't had sex, for example.
But that's like the general outline.
When does sex tend to come into it?
Well, sometimes it comes before dating. Sometimes it comes after dating.
Okay.
Sometimes you can be someone at a bar and just take a bowl.
Okay. Obviously, we know there's a range.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, I think what you described is maybe better in some ways than our generation.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. They're talking about having a period where it's a casual relationship, at least. All right. Anyway. Hey, moving on. Okay. So God's commandment to us, based on this passage, is to pursue romantic relationships in a holy and honorable way that involves learning control of our body and our mind. Okay, got it? That's that scripture. Okay, and I think that definitely applies to what we call dating. Okay, the next scripture I want to look at is 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. Now, I think you can overinterpret this passage, all right? I want to read this passage, and, you know, 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. So the first scripture we're looking at, by the way, if you came in late, we're talking about dating. We're talking about dating, Bible-based thoughts on dating for college students, essentially. That's the topic. Okay, 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2. Says, do not rebuke an older man harshly. So, by the way, do not rebuke me harshly, because I'm clearly an older man. All right, yes.
Yeah.
Exhort him as if you were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers. By the way, Paul is speaking to Timothy, who is a fairly young evangelist, probably in his 20s, maybe his early 30s, something like that. Paul is probably at least 20 years older than Timothy, at least. Says, older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. All right? So, how would you treat your sister?
Respectfully.
All right?
Well, do you mean like our actual sister?
Yeah, your actual sister. Or your actual brother.
Oh, we rough
house. Okay? All right.
They do.
So, basically saying, you know, our relationships generally should be something that, for example, you'd have like a relationship with your sister. By the way, does that mean, like, do you hold hands with your, do you hold hands with your sister when you're walking down the sidewalk, Kevin?
Sometimes, yeah.
Do you? Yeah, no, you don't do that. All right, so that means that you can't ever even hold hands with somebody you're dating? All right, I don't want to take this too far, okay? I don't want to take this scripture too far. All right? But that's what he's saying. Brothers need to treat sisters in the church like sisters. And sisters need to treat brothers in the church like brothers, all right? All right? And again, I don't want to take that too far. You know what I'm saying? But I think there's this absolute purity thing. All right? So guys who aren't married, ask yourself, would you do that with your sister? Yeah, okay. Now, I'm not talking about having sex. That's what I'm talking about. Ken, come on. All right? That's not what I'm talking about. But absolute purity. I got it? Our society is nothing like New Testament times. We don't arrange marriages. We, including faithful Christians, this is how we're going to do it. We're not going to do it like they did it. That's why you have to take this kind of in their context, because for unmarried people, they would take this literally, right? For unmarried people in their context, they would take this literally. All right?
Yeah.
All right, but I think, for example, in America, even as Christians, I think it's going to work like this. We're going to meet each other, right? And we're going to get to know each other. And then we're going to agree that we like each other, right? And then we're going to start spending more time with each other. And then we're going to, at some point, start noticing, oh, we're going from like to love. All right? I think that's going to happen. I'm talking about in Christian relationships, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to fall in love with each other. All right? That whole thing, maybe not the Hollywood version of that, but I think that's how it's going to go. And then we're going to say, gee, I think we should maybe think about being committed to each other for life. Going to get engaged. You know, that whole thing, I think that's the context of guy-girl relationships in America today. So, again, this is what Paul said to Timothy, and I think we should listen to what he's saying, but we need to apply it to our context. Okay, got it?
Yeah.
So Christians are going to do what I described here of meeting each other, getting to know each other, liking each other, even moving towards actually that thing that we falling in love. That's a real thing. It's a biological thing that actually happens. And then, you know, all that stuff. We're going to be doing that stuff. We're going to do it, but we don't do test driving, right? We don't do test driving.
Uh-oh.
We do not do test driving. Right?
Right, yes.
We don't do that. No.
Yeah.
When we get married, we haven't test driven anything. Right?
Yeah.
And so the advice that you need to test drive, that's in the trash can. Oh, that's right. They don't have trash cans in these rooms, but pretend they did. So that whole concept of what dating is about, which is sort of, you know what I'm talking about. We don't do that. Okay, got it? So we observe absolute purity. Okay? That's the Christian idea. Okay? In my opinion, that does not mean you don't hold hands and probably even kiss. I don't know. I don't get into the details there. All right? I'm not going to get into those details. All right. Next, part two. So part one is the Christian approach to essentially moving towards being married and eventually having romance and sex and all that kind of stuff. All right? We've got two scriptures. Okay? Yeah. Okay? And part two is, all right, well, then what about after you get married? All right? Because, again, puppy love, you know, they don't think about it. But, you know, if you're 18 to 23 years old, you might want to think, okay, great. Well, what kind of relationship would I want to eventually have? In other words, what's marriage supposed to actually look like? Okay? Do you think about that even as you're dating? Are you thinking about what marriage is going to actually look like? So I've got two scriptures on that. Okay? Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. So when you're thinking about, you know, liking somebody and then, you know, eventually maybe, you know, doing the whole dating thing and all that sort of stuff. And who knows, maybe you end up falling in love and all that. I think we should just start to imagine, okay, well, great. Where's this headed? We all know where it might be headed. So let's think about where it's headed and kind of model what we do in the meantime on what we think it's going to be heading towards. Okay, got it? Am I saying too much here? Great. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay? So you're talking about being in a relationship where you are submitted to that person. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Being in a relationship where you are submitted to that person. As in, their will wins out over your will in many, many instances. Okay? That's hard, by the way. Just so you know, that's hard to do. We got some people who've been married, okay? Do you agree that's hard to do, Manny? Yeah, it's hard to do. All right, let's go on. It says, wives, submit to yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to their husbands and everything. I'm not going to go into that, okay? I'm going to leave that alone for now. All right? Just put that aside. Not that I don't believe in it. I'm just not going to talk about that right now. I want to look at part B here, the admonition to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. That's the one I want to look at. So two things I want to look at, features of biblical marriage. Number one is submitting to one another. And number two is, here we go, verse 28. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And I would say, I think wives, you should probably love your husband as you do your own body. And I believe, although it does mention about wives submitting to husbands, I believe in husbands submitting to wives. Is there a difference there? I won't go into that. I'm not going to go into that. Okay? After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For you are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, folks. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So what we're talking about is moving towards a relationship in which there is a submission to one another, as in that person, I'm submitting to that person, okay? You're learning how to submit to that person. That's what moving towards marriage is about, learning how to submit to that person, and also learning how to love that person, honor them even above your own body, right? Yes?
Yes.
Right. What scripture am I in? All right, good. Yeah, loving your spouse more than you even love your own body. That's pretty intense situation. And I'm going to make some practical applications of this in dating. Okay? But that's what we're talking about. That's what we're moving toward. So dating involves learning, in my opinion, Christian dating involves learning how to submit to the other person. Okay? And learning how to love someone more than you love your own body. Okay? That's what I'm seeing here. Okay, last scripture, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And you think, what in the world are you going to this passage? This passage is about elders. All right, this passage is about elders. But Jan told me I need to use this one, and I'm submitting to Jan. By the way, but almost half this lesson is coming from Jan. I'm the one giving it. So if it's bad, you can blame it on Jan.
Oh.
But no, just kidding. This... You know, generally, like when I'm teaching on the book of Revelation, I'm not sitting down with Jan for an hour and a half talking about what should I talk about. But for this lesson, I spent some time with Jan saying, Jan, what should I talk about? And pretty much everything she said, I'm actually doing, just so you know. Okay. Here's a trustworthy saying, 1 Timothy 3:1 through 5. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. He must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. But I want to look at just that one little part. It says, here you go. Faithful to his wife. That is not what the Greek says at all. That's not even close to what the Greek says. It says a one-woman man.
Wow.
All right?
Literally?
Yes, a one-woman man. That's why I think this is equal for men and women. I think this is for all Christians. Okay? A one-woman man or a one-man woman. So dating, I think to me, is learning how to be a one-woman man and a one-man woman. Got it? And in the world, that's not quite what you're going to see, okay, to say the least. All right. So that's the scripture. So we looked at two scriptures that talked about romance and moving in that direction. And you could argue that both of them were sort of in some ways negative in that things is more like what you shouldn't do than what you should do. But it's because God wants that eventual thing that happens to be like super awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it? Then we looked at two scriptures that talk about what marriage is supposed to look like. And therefore, I'm going to argue that dating should be moving in that direction. So now I'm going to give my personal opinion, okay? The rest of this thing is my personal opinion, all right? And it's like I said, this is an old guy, with help from his wife, give me some advice, and then please interpret that in your own young person's world thing. But I think I know what I'm talking about. And I'm pretty sure if we had Manny and Sandy up here, they probably would go amen to all of these points. I'm pretty sure they'd go, yeah, that's right, please say that to those young people. Okay, got it? Number one, I believe we need to learn how to have casual friendships with members of the opposite sex without the prospect of a romantic relationship being behind all that stuff. Okay? I really think we need to learn how to be friends without being boyfriends and girlfriends. Okay? Yeah. And that you're not going to learn that from your fellow young people. Okay? So I got a question for you. Are you able to look at a guy, if you're a girl, or a girl if you're a guy, without the perspective of, oh wow, would this person make a boyfriend or girlfriend? Right? We need to just learn how to just be friends. Alright? Just be friends. And romance or the possible dating thing is not even the slightest thing in view at all. And I think probably most of you are probably pretty bad at that. But I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, then amen. All right, so a question. Are you able to look at a guy or a girl and the idea of whether this would be a person you might possibly want to be a boyfriend or girlfriend is like whatever. You're not even thinking about that. All right, you're thinking about like it would be like a guy with another guy, but they're not a guy, obviously. You don't treat them like a guy. Guys don't treat girls like guys. Do not do that. But in this sense of being a friend, yeah, learn how to do that. And girls with guys, I don't know, girls don't have to worry about how they treat guys. Guys have to learn how to treat girls, all right? Guys are just a bunch of lunkheads and stuff like that. So, can I give a suggestion? Suggestion is to learn to kind of spend time together, like, a guy and a girl might go doing dating, but it has nothing to do with boyfriend or girlfriend or anything, even remotely like that. Okay? So maybe group dates or double dates or something like that. Okay? That's what I'm thinking. So I'd say when you're trying to, you get to know each other and then you like each other and then eventually it's more than like, honestly, you're like, oh wow, there's that thing that happens, it's happening and all that sort of, but that first phase where you just get to know each other. Can we find a way to do that casually so there's not a bunch of boyfriend-girlfriend stuff going on? That's my suggestion. So I'd say in this initial phase, maybe don't spend a lot of time just the two. More like in a social thing. So I'd say maybe not even going out on dates, as in just boy, just girl, doing that thing. Until you've done that whole friendship for a while. Old person saying that, I say avoid single dating pretty much until you're moved far along. Okay? Number two. All right? Advice number two. Avoid, approach this whole liking, more than liking stuff, outside of the whole sexualized aspect of that. All right? So not thinking, all right, how can I maybe touch in this way and, you know, all that kind of stuff, all right? So we need to learn to approach friendship and liking, loving, and marriage in a way which is not highly sexualized. I got a question. Do you struggle with pornography? She said no. All right. Don't raise your hand, all right? Do you struggle with pornography? If you do, why are you even thinking about dating? I'm going back to that 1 Timothy passage, a one-woman man.
Yeah.
If you're struggling with pornography, why are you even thinking about going on dates? What's wrong with you? I mean, seriously. Okay? And my suggestion is, be careful how you spend time alone with a member of the opposite sex. Okay? I'd say, we don't need rules for this stuff. So, you know, don't spend time in a girl's bedroom or a guy's bedroom, be careful. Another thing is, what's this thing about texting at 1 o'clock in the morning, guy, girl stuff? I had a guy ask me just the other day, hey, is it okay if, actually, there's a girl asking me about a guy, but anyway, is it okay if I'm texting this girl at 1 o'clock in the morning? Well, do you text guys at 1 o'clock in the morning? I mean, you know, actually, they probably do, you know what I'm saying? They probably do. They probably do. So 24/7 social media access is a really, really, guys and girls, my suggestion, just don't do it. Now, again, young people, your version of this, you may have to sort of filter what I'm saying. Possibly. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I'm saying, point number two, figure out a way to approach this whole thing of a liking, loving, marriage and stuff in a non-sexualized way. However that looks. Be cautious about spending time alone together when you're in this, learning to be friendships and then eventually liking each other. At some point, you're going to be spending, you know, when you're in love and working towards marriage, you're going to spend some time alone together. You need to. So a guy asked me the other day, is it okay for me texting a girl every day? I said, do you text any guys every day? No. Well, then what do you think's going on there? How stupid do you think I am, you know, to think that that's not a thing, you know what I'm saying? So, so I asked him, do you text guys every day? No. Well, then why are you texting this girl every day? You're pursuing her, you know? And, all right, I'm just saying. So my suggestion sort of generically is learn how to develop intimacy very gradually over a period of time. Let intimacy come. By the way, I'm going to quote a scripture on that. That's going to be later on in this outline. All right. So don't start talking every day, texting every day. That should be, you know, down the road somewhere. Learn how to develop a friendship. And to hold off on intimacy till farther down the road. But eventually, you're going to get there. There's going to be intimacy before you're married. Of course there will be. There needs to be. And that's okay. All right. So, point number three. How do you view relationships with the opposite sex? Are you thinking, is this person going to make me happy? Are you thinking, is this person going to fulfill the needs that I have? Is this person the right person for me? Because what did that scripture say? That one in Ephesians 5. Remember what it said? Okay, Ken, you can speak up this time if you want. What was that concept in Ephesians 5? Love her more than your own body. So I want to suggest you should pursue this awesome thing. I mean, it is so awesome. I mean, falling in love, it is so awesome. It's so amazing. And even liking each other and, you know, just, that's so exciting. But a better question is, will I be able to make this person happy? Isn't that much a better question? Will I be able to make this person happy? Am I right for that person? Not is that person going to make me happy? Or is that the person the right person for me? Am I the right person for her? Okay? So, we're thinking of viewing relationships as the opportunity to fulfill another person, more than its opportunity to fulfill yourself. Got it? Again, coming from an old person, but that's actually the Bible. We read that scripture. Point number four, I'm almost done. Learn how to be friends first, with no boyfriend-girlfriend thing going on at all. The world doesn't do this well, very well. I was talking with Malcolm, and he said, this is a quote from Malcolm. He said, "My generation is very skeptical of friendship dating." Right?
Yes.
In other words, dating somebody you have absolutely no romantic interest in at all. None. In fact, probably somebody you wouldn't be interested in. Just dating, that's just friendship. All right? And, you know, I was taught that as a young Christian, but how your generation is going to do this, I don't know. But I'll tell you, before I ever went on a date with Jan as a Christian, I'd probably gone on
dozens,
150 dates. I'm not kidding. With 50 different girls. And most of them I definitely would not have been interested in. I'm telling you, that's what I did. But I kind of learned how to just be with a girl. You know what I'm saying? Because the world doesn't help you out that way. And Hollywood's not going to help you out that way. So I want to suggest, you know, doing this if you can. All right? So the world says you find a person like, you jump in full bore within a few weeks, intimacy happens, and then hopefully it'll work out, but usually it doesn't, and people get hurt, and it's a horrible situation. Okay? By the way, Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 7, she says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field." It's just poetry, okay? It says, "Do not rouse or awaken love until it so desires." In other words, let love arise in its proper time. Right? Take it slow. Move towards a romantic, intimate love relationship cautiously and carefully, and learn how to do that. Okay? So that's my kind of generic advice. And like I said, I'm using the wrong terminology for y'all. I apologize. And y'all's version of doing this is going to be a little bit different than ours was. But I think my advice generally was pretty good advice. So here's the question for our groups to discuss. And let's have at least one old person in each group. Oh yeah, here's a good question. One more point. When ideally would you consider, you know, when would you want to get married? Okay? When would you want to get married? Okay? No, I mean, honestly, I mean, when would you want to get married? Do you want to get married at 21? Do you want to get married at 21? I don't think so. So I think for most of us, probably 25, 26, 27, maybe 24, possibly. Okay? So if that's true, why would you want to be going steady when you're 18 or 19? Because what that means is you're going to have to go steady for 5 or 6 years. And trust me, you do not want to go steady with somebody for 5 or 6 years. It's terrible. So why would you even want to have a boyfriend or girlfriend at 18 or 19? I don't know. Or 20 even. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's bad. It's definitely not wrong or bad. But I'm just saying. It's really hard. And again, So, you know, you got a boyfriend or girlfriend at 18 or 19. So are you going to stay in a pure relationship for the next 5 or 6 years? Do you really think you can pull that off? All right. Old person says, okay, okay. So what that means is you're probably going to end up getting married at 20, 20, 21, 22. Okay? In fact, honestly, Christians on average get married a little bit younger than non-Christians for the simple reason. Right. The reason, I'm just being real with you. The reason is because we don't do that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so how long are you going to, you know, be going steady? So just a thought, just a thought. Okay. Anyway, learn how to build healthy, pure, non-romantic relationships with the opposite sex while you're in college. What a beautiful, amazing thing. So here we go. We're going to have this discussion. What would be the ideal Christian way to approach male-female relationships, including dating, developing an increasing level of intimacy, leading to marriage? So old people, let's let the young people talk first, please. Okay? But let's maybe have an old person in each group, possibly. Jen, yeah.
You probably want to say intimacy is not having sex.
Right, intimacy. Right, intimacy, as
close.
In...
close. It means being close.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's assumed, now, yes.
Nowadays,
leading to marriage.
People, they
sometimes
do say intimacy as...
Right, intimacy as in talking about your deepest thoughts and emotions and stuff like that.
Emotional intimacy.
Yes, emotional intimacy. Right. Yeah. You don't want to start emotional intimacy after you got married. I think... okay. Right? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Question?
I've got kids, right? They're growing, they're older. And many of you have got kids, love like my kids, right? I'm learning. You guys have welcomed us, right? And feel very comfortable around me. And some of the things that I told my daughters, was, look, if their boyfriend came and said, can I borrow your car? And my car is a classic, right? It's a beautiful car. It's a car that's in showrooms. And this young man wants to borrow my car. Do you think I'll let him borrow it? You know, if he says, hey, I want to buy it from you. I really want to buy it from you. But I'd like to test drive it first. Right? And let me test drive it for a year. Right? So, do you think I'd say yes to that?
No.
Right? Test drive it for a year. You burn rubber on my car. You burn my carpets with cigarettes. You didn't change the oil. You didn't take care of my car in that year. And now you want to say, I changed my mind at the end of the year. Here's your keys. How do you think that would be towards me? You know, how would I feel? You ruined my car. You put dents in it. I took care of it. I washed it. I nourished it. Right? And that always gets me because if I value my car, like that. If I take care of it, wash it, wax it, maintenance, I value it because I like it. Why do you think that you will be of less value as a daughter than my car? Those young ladies are the ones who are saying, come on, Dad. He's cute. He's, you know, he's athletic. He's good looking. Right? But it's like, I value as my daughters. Why, you know, if the young man would think, are you going to let any of your friends borrow your motorcycle, borrow your car and
heck
put
no.
so much work into it? Why would it be such a long jump to now come and ask, hey, you know, like, what do you think about me dating your daughter? I'm like, yeah, you know, like, be friends. Right? Be friends. But it's like, don't use it the way you use up my car at the end of the year and then say, here, I changed my mind. Because at the bottom line is you don't know if the relationship's going to go the way you want it to. You might discover some differences that you can't, you know, ignore. You know, so it's like, be the friend. You could be the friend, you know, but it's hard when it's like you're by yourself and then it's just chemical. You know, it's not. It was just more of a statement that I have. Because I've grown to like a lot of my sisters in these ways, and I'm like, my wife and I, you know, it's like we dated, and we didn't, our kiss didn't come till much later. You know, our first kiss, you know, and it was like, we wanted to save it for that day, and even then we weren't able to. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's a gift from God when he gives a sister to a brother. It's a gift. It'd be the equivalent of one of my kids in Christmas time, you know, asking Dad, you know, give me that Nintendo, give me that Nintendo. And then going over, looking at the box that looks like the size of a Nintendo, let me open it up. Then you open it up. Oh, it is. Take it out of the box, play it while nobody's home. And then come back, you know, Christmas time, that's like, there's nothing special about it. You've already played with it. It's a gift that God's giving us. You know, if that's how I see, that's how I value my daughter. You know, how does God value his daughter? How does God value his son? You know, so that's what I have for it. You know, that I hope you guys listen to.
All right, we're going to get another old person's perspective. Go for it, Sandy. Hope you guys can put up with old people talking, but, you know, that's kind of what this thing's about tonight a little bit.
The number two question that you had on there, you know, do you struggle with pornography? I got to tell you guys, I mean, I'm 61. I still struggle with pornography. And it's not because I want to, but I had a really sexual dream just the other night. And I confessed it to my husband. And just because you can say, no, I don't struggle with pornography. I have my boyfriend or I have my girlfriend. This is stuff that you'll deal with for the rest of your life if you are not confessing it. And it is a battle. It's a battle, but God still wants us to be pure. And being pure is confessing where you're really at, because it is a struggle. And not everybody can overcome it, but it was in the Bible. Pornography was there then. It's now so rampant, you know, that it's not something that you want to think about. But there's times where even when you're dreaming, you're like, where did that come from? You're like left field. Satan is always trying to get us down. And he'll do anything that he can, even when we're sleeping. You know, so if you're not dealing with it, I would deal with it. Because it's something that, you know, it's a constant sin, you know. And if you're not dealing with how you feel about something or, you know, you just got to deal with it. So I would really, you know, really look at that question and be honest with yourselves, because, you know, every woman wants to feel like, you know, we're the one and we have it all together. And, you know, me and Manny still battle even after you're married. Another thing I was going to say is that I'm sure a lot of you girls know women that have gotten married and they wear the white, and, you know, they're not pure. That was one thing that I really was looking forward to when I got married, is that I knew that my sins were washed away. Mm-hmm. My previous sins, I was married before, but I knew that when I got married, I wore white to represent God in the way of being pure with Manny. And when you wear that, when you get to that place in your life when you want to wear white and you know you have all these secrets behind you, it won't mean anything to you if you don't deal with stuff. So think about that. And for men, you know, think about, you know, how you want your wife to be one day. Do you want that purity? You have to talk about where you're at. And, you know, don't put women in those positions either. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not looking at anybody to make anybody feel bad. But think about these things, because those will always haunt you, you know. And I think about, you know, before God, you know, I don't want to be shouted out from the rooftop. Mm-hmm. Guess what? She lied, you know, or whatever. You know, I just, you have to really look at yourself. So analyze, you know, when you look in the mirror, really look in the mirror and be honest. You know, so that's all I can say.
Okay, great.
Can I say something
too? Sure.
All I just want to say is, you know, he read in 1 Timothy, right? We didn't really say very much, but I would suggest you guys go back there and read that whole chapter, because it tells you what you should have an ambition to be like. Mm-hmm. You know, it really does. And, you know, I don't need to tell you, but God can just tell you personally what he would like you, when you're a grown man, when you're, you know, feel like you're really there, this is what you should aspire to be like.
Okay, no, let's cut it off. No, we're done. Because we're going to have our discussion groups. And then, yeah. So let's have our discussion groups. Okay? This will be an interesting discussion group, don't you think? Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry. What would be the ideal Christian way to approach female-male relationships, including dating, developing an increasing level of intimacy leading to marriage? Okay.
John, would you...